Your play-by-play man for the New York Rangers MSG Radio Network, Mr. Kenny Albert. And Kenny, Artemi Panarin, give me your strongest case why the Magic Man, or whatever his nickname is, should be the Hart Trophy winner whenever the awards are handed out.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, Jason and Connor, and I hope everybody's healthy and safe and all that good stuff. But as far as Panarin is concerned, there are certainly three unbelievable finalists, and you probably can't go wrong with any of the three. But as far as Panarin's season, he was a guy that broke into the league undrafted with Chicago, and the Rangers were actually the opponent for his first NHL game, and he scored his first National Hockey League goal against Henrik Lundqvist at the United Center, and I'll never forget that night because most of us hadn't heard of Panarin before, didn't know much about him, and he was flying around the ice. He was terrific, playing on a line with Patrick Kane that night, and we all know what he did in his two seasons in Chicago, went on to Columbus, and then when he hit free agency last summer, John Davidson obviously knew him very well, who had been the president in Columbus and then became the president of the Rangers last summer, probably had his closer relationship with Panarin as anybody in the league. So that was certainly an advantage from a Ranger standpoint. And on the ice, he's been even more than advertised. When you look at the numbers, 95 points, but it wasn't like he was accumulating everything on the power play. He led the league in 5-on-5 points. He led the league in even strength points. You know, you look at so many of the categories, he was right near the top. And the other thing I look at is Mika Zibanejad had an outstanding year. He scored 41 goals in 57 games. Aside from power play, they really did not play together much. Less than 10 games, Panarin and Zibanejad were regular line mates. So I think that says a lot as well. Ryan Strome, who was Panarin's line mate for much of the year, had a career season, and you guys know Strome well. Jesper Foss yeah. was the other forward on that line, who's more of a defensive, you know, very reliable defensive player. He doesn't chip in as much on the offensive end. So I think when you put all that together, certainly a worthy candidate for the Hart Trophy.
You know, you got to be really careful if you want to keep your new followers that joined you. When you mentioned the Ryan Strome, that's a hard one for Oilers fans to swallow because...
Oh, I know,
What did he have, 50 or 60 points or something, I think, off the top of my head? Like, that is an ugly, ugly trade for Spooner. I remember some people in that group saying they couldn't believe that they were able to make that trade with the Oilers.
And you know, Spooner actually had a really good last 15, 20 games of the season the prior year with the Rangers. After the trade from Boston, he was one of the Rangers' leading scorers. So, you know, sometimes you have to think back to how the players were doing, you know, at the time of the trade and, you know, during the prior season and not necessarily look at it now. It obviously looks one-sided from a Ranger standpoint at this point, but Spooner did have a really good run with the Rangers back at the end of the 2018 season.
Kenny, you know, getting back to Panarin, when you look at him, what in your mind separates him from, you know, everyone else who is not naming it for the Hart? What does he do so well that is, you know, that creates that separation?
You know, it seems to me, as someone who never played the game, it's, you know, such a high level, just from watching his vision, he's such a good passer. You know, seems to find teammates when they least expect it with the puck. He's just a wizard with the puck. He's a great skater. He has a terrific shot as well. I've been up to the practices for the last 10 days or so and sitting right behind the goal and just watching him shoot and the precision that he has. But I think the thing that probably stands out the most is his, as far as the skill set, is the skating and the passing and the way that he sees the entire ice.
Hey, Kenny, when you look at this upcoming play-in for the New York Rangers, is one area of concern the depth on this Rangers, especially in the bottom six, or is there more there than maybe meets the eye?
You know, I think Carolina might be similar because they're, you know, pretty stacked up top. Usually they're you know, top three offensive players are on that top line. So kind of similar in that respect that maybe the top two lines on both teams have most of the skill, and then it's really the grinders on you know, the other lines. Although from a Ranger standpoint, Filip Hedl centers the third line, and he's certainly a young player with skill, and Kaapo Kakko on the wing, who seems to have had a really good camp, you know, had his ups and downs during the regular season. And in listening to head coach David Quinn, he feels that Kakko, you know, coming back now after the 3 months off, you know, the break, he looks bigger, stronger, more confident. So You know, as far as the Rangers' depth, I think they do have it with guys like Hedl and Kako on that third line. They have Brett Howden, a guy that your listeners are familiar with, centering the fourth line. So, you know, I don't know if depth is as much of an issue with the Rangers now as it was during the first half of the season when they were struggling a bit. You know, since early January, when they were in Calgary and Edmonton, their season really took a turn for the better right after that trip. They recalled Igor Shesterkin on January 7th. He played his first game, and he winds up going 10-2 the rest of the way. And when you look at the Ranger team, you have to also look at the young group of defensemen. Tony DeAngelo, who's 23, 24 years of age in his third organization, he was having a breakout year with over 50 points. Terrific power play guy. Adam Fox and Ryan Lindgren, two rookies, really became the number one pair during the last 20 or 30 games. They were usually out there against the other team's top line.
And I love that you bring up those young D-men because, you know, I'm looking at the point totals. What did DeAngelo have? 50 points. You got Adam Fox. He came out of nowhere with 40 points. And you know, Trouba, who may have, you know, a guy who was not be the leader, had 27. They get a lot of offense. And how much does that kind of push the engine that is, you know, that top-heavy kind of forward group they have there?
You know, they really, that's something they do really well. And it was exciting to watch because heading into the season, you know, you didn't know exactly what you had in all three guys. DeAngelo had been up and down with the Rangers and their farm team in Hartford the year before. Fox was a rookie, had never played an NHL game coming out of college, and Lindgren started the year in the minor leagues. So there were definitely question marks at the start of the year. Trouba came over from Winnipeg, and admittedly, he talked about this the other day, it took him some time to adjust, and he feels really comfortable now in New York and with his teammates. They wound up trading Brady Shea to Carolina, so they'll face him in the playoffs. Yeah. They have the veteran in Mark Stahl, who you know very well, who you played with in New York, Jason. He's a great partner for DeAngelo because DeAngelo's the offensive guy. You know, Stahl stays back. He's a terrific defensive player. Certainly doesn't have close to the offensive skills of DeAngelo, but I think they've been a really good pair playing together, and it allows DeAngelo to move up ice and join the rush and join the offense. And in Lindgren and Fox, you have guys that can sort of do a little bit of both. Fox is more of an offensive player than Lindgren is. Lindgren is probably a little bit tougher. You know, he gets into some scuffles, while Fox is more of a skater, passer. But Fox was really impressive. He did not wind up as one of the three Calder Trophy finalists for Rookie of the Year. Makar, Hughes, and Kubalik obviously all had great years as well. But Adam Fox, just watching him on a day-in, day-out basis, he's been really impressive in these preseason practices and scrimmages or whatever you want to call them these last few weeks.
Talking with Kenny Albert, the New York Rangers play-by-play man for MSG Radio Network. You know, it seems like there's an embarrassment of riches in between the pipes with Shesterkin and Georgiev and our man Henrik Lundqvist. How does this play out? Where who, or I guess better, who gets to play when the teams hit the ice and, you know, whatever, just over a week?
Well, it's a great question. It's been one of the most talked about topics, really. Since January, when Shesterkin was recalled from the minor leagues, I love Henrik Lundqvist as much as anybody. You know, you played with him for 2, 3, 4 years, so you know him really well. He single-handedly carried this franchise for about 12 years. He was the main reason why they had the success getting to the Stanley Cup Final in 2014, two other Eastern Conference Finals. I'm a huge Henrik fan. However, would I be surprised if it's Igor Shesterkin in goal for game one against Carolina? I would not. You know, just reading some of the tea leaves, watching the practices and the scrimmages, listening to the coaches and sort of reading between the lines a little bit, Shesterkin came up and he was nearly flawless. He went 10-2. His goals against average, you know, in the KHL was under 2 for a number of years. He was terrific in the minor leagues, and there's just something special about him. And you mentioned Georgiev as well, who's the third goalie in the mix, who's also been a real good player for the Rangers for the last 2 years. So, you know, what happens moving forward after this season, we'll have to wait and see. And, again, like I said, I'm a huge Henrik Lundqvist fan, but would I be surprised if it's Shesterkin in game one? I would not.
How much does it affect the Rangers missing a guy who definitely gets his nose in there, and Brendan Lemieux, for the first two games of this, what do we want to call it, the play-in, I guess?
Yeah, he was suspended for the two games for an incident in the last game they played, March 11th in Colorado, for a hit on Donskoy. And, you know, they'll certainly miss him. He's the sandpaper-type guy, you know, draws some comparisons to Sean Avery from a prior Ranger generation, similar type game. Avery probably had more offensive skills than Lemieux has shown, but they'll miss him. You know, he's a third, fourth line guy who gets in there, he gets in opponents' faces, and you know, that's probably what, you know, people on the outside would have expected, perhaps. You know, a two-game suspension in the regular season, it probably would have been a little longer, maybe four or five games. They usually shorten it up a little bit in the playoffs, but he's been skating. He was up there today. You know, he wasn't necessarily in the line rushes just because they know he won't be playing in those two games, so they moved a couple of other guys up. But, you know, they'll certainly be looking forward to getting him back, I'm sure, for Game 3.
And as you look at this matchup they have heading to their play-in, is there an area that you really feel the Rangers have the advantage?
You know, the interesting thing, Jason, is the Rangers, and again, these numbers don't necessarily mean much, given that every team has been off for 4 months and they won't be playing in front of crowds, and it's totally different than anything we've ever seen. But the Rangers have had Carolina's number during the entire Henrik Lundqvist era. You know, there are certain teams that just do that against certain opponents. This year, for example, even though Carolina finished higher in the standings, they were the sixth seed and the Rangers are 11th, the Rangers won all four games during the regular season from Carolina. Lundqvist in his career is something like 33-12 against the Hurricanes. Now, again, he might not be between the pipes for game one, but it's just been one of those matchups that they've dominated through the years. I think, you know, Carolina has more playoff experience, for sure, when you look at last year. You know, the bulk of their team was on the roster last spring when they went to the Eastern Conference Final. They upset Washington, and then they won the second-round matchup with the Islanders and then fell short against Boston. So they do have the playoff experience. They have some great young players, you know, guys like Aho and Tara Vinan, of course, and Svechnikov, and you look at the experience with Justin Williams and Jordan Staal and Dougie Hamilton and some of the others. So I think it should be a real good matchup. But the Rangers, when you look at the seasons that both Zibanejad and Panarin had, one guy's a heart candidate and the other scored 41 goals. And they've looked real good during these practices the last 2 weeks. So I think when you look at the top-end talent, the two Rangers who I mentioned were at the top of their games this year. Defensively, you know, when you look at the group of six defensemen, it's probably pretty even on both sides. And in the playoffs, it usually comes down to goaltending and special teams.
You just nailed it there, Kenny. It's always fun catching up with you. And, you know, always, I watch a lot of Rangers games. Obviously, I still have a lot of affinity for there. And, you know, it's such a great building. I have to get down there and check out Cincinnati. Do you have a nicer place to sit to watch the games or call the games?
We do. It's great. About 5 years ago, they finished the renovations. You wouldn't believe it. Aside from the ceiling, the iconic Madison Square Garden ceiling, which looks exactly the same, the inside of the building, the seats, the press area, the locker rooms, everything's different. It's almost like a new building with the same outer walls and the same ceiling. So hopefully, you know, once everything's back to normal, hopefully you can make a trip into New York real soon.
I'd love to go there and see it. It's a lot of fun. So, Kenny, I look forward to that day and enjoy the run. It should be the Rangers are a team that people don't really know what to get to expect, and they're playing Carolina. It could be a good first round, play-in. I always get that mistake, play-in matchup. So enjoy it, and we'll catch up with you again further down the road.
Thanks, Jason. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll chat again soon.